We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
They're a bunch of jokers. They stink so bad you can't even make it up. Get rid of all of them.
Howard Simon.
Every single time. Howard says, they've moved on. I drink. I am so drunk.
Jeremy White.
You did this to me.
Don't you put your finger on that computer.
This is what happens.
No, you
cannot.
This
is legit.
I object.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I can start you with the stat of the day. Or stat of yesterday. Stat of yesterday, Patrick Hammer reported yesterday, it's not rained in Buffalo on the 4th of July in 15 years.
I saw that stat.
Yeah.
I was gonna tweet at him and say, now you're just bragging.
15 years.
It's a good run.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'm good with that. Weather was beautiful over the weekend. It was a very nice, long weekend. Hopefully, a lot of people had yesterday off. It was a gorgeous weekend to just be out and enjoy Western New York and the summer. And now we're back to work today. Thanks for hanging out with us. Got some stuff to get to on the show this morning. Happy NHL Draft Week. We are now, what's today? The 5th. 13 days away from rookies reporting for Bills training camp at St. John Fisher in Pittsburgh. So we're getting closer to that. Joey Chestnut from yesterday. Interesting F1 race on Sunday. It's not an artist rendering, but there were designs about the Bills stadium and the footprint of the new stadium that came out over the weekend. And we can get to all that stuff as well. And, if there's anything on your mind, you can always join us and let us know what you're thinking about this morning in the world of sports at 803-0550. I went to see Elvis over the weekend, so I can give you my movie review. We got some juicy rumors to get to this morning in the NHL.
Is Elvis a must-see the way Top Gun is?
No. No, it's funny. I was thinking I'm going to bring this up on the show. How do I want to portray this? Because Elvis is getting good reviews too. And that's exactly what I was going to say to you. It's good. It's not Top Gun Maverick, but it's good. It's a long movie. It's a little over 2.5 hours.
Oof.
But you know what? It isn't like, oh, would this thing just end already? But, I mean, that is a little bit of a long movie, but I thought it was really interesting. The guy who played Elvis was good. Tom Hanks was good playing Colonel Tom Parker. There's stuff in there. I mean, I knew the general Elvis story, but there's a lot of stuff in there that I didn't know about, which was kind of cool. So, yeah, it was a good movie. Go see it again. But if I had to rate it, I mean, it was not like riveting start to finish Top Gun Maverick. I just thought it was good. It was interesting. I wouldn't say it was great, no.
All right. I have no plans to see Elvis.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to tell you, like, you have got to go see. It's a good movie, you know, and I was interested in the backstory, too. So, and we were just, you know, we were like, what do we want to do? We want to get out of the house. Hey, let's go see a movie. So I've now seen two movies in the last 2 months, which is about the same amount that I'd seen in the previous 3 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah, very excited about that. And I now qualify for the senior ticket price.
Very nice.
No, not really.
No.
But, you know, that's like we're buying tickets online. My wife's buying the tickets. She's, you know, 60. Hey, you're 60. Thanks, hon. Thank you very much. So we saved a couple bucks. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, good.
Yeah. Good movie. Not great. Nice to get out.
Yeah, no movie for me. Still haven't seen Top Gun Maverick and not been able to make that happen.
Is it in IMAX?
No, it was back in IMAX and now it's back out of IMAX.
Was it in for like one day or something?
A week.
Oh.
And every show was at 9:30 at night.
Ooh.
So
that's a crusher.
That was been a very big decision to.
Yeah, that's a late night.
So I'm still maybe the only person on earth that hasn't seen it.
You know, maybe we can arrange like a private. Well, we'd have to put it in an IMAX theater. You would want a private screening in an IMAX theater, not at home. Don't miss out on the experience.
We'll see. It's back. It's still in theaters, just not in IMAX. And I don't know. Am I going to see it? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not.
You should see it.
Other stuff going on. Went to the Bisons game last night.
Very good.
Independence Eve.
How was the show?
Did not stay for the show. Had the babies with us.
Yeah,
had the kids.
It's a late night. Yeah.
So the game ends about 8:45, and the announcement's made that the show with the BPO starts at 9:15, and that 30-minute window was time to go home.
Yeah.
So we went home, didn't see fireworks, didn't see the BPO, but, you know, got to hang out with the family at the Bisons game. I just a shot in the dark here. Usually that event is sold out.
Yeah.
Right? Or
close to it.
Really packed.
Yeah.
This one wasn't.
You know, I saw on the news this morning, they did a story about the, you know, and they showed the stands and there were a lot of empty seats. I thought maybe that was like before first pitch and they just wanted to get a shot of the crowd because I thought
it's a good
crowd.
I thought
the same thing. That usually is. I've only been to it a couple times over the years, but both times if it wasn't sold out, it was darn close to being packed.
My best guess would be it happened when people don't have the next day off.
Yeah.
Usually it's Independence Eve. This was Independence Day night.
Yeah.
It's on a Monday instead of it's on the 4th. Usually, I mean, I guess we could ask the Bisons historically. Usually it's on the 3rd. They're home for the 3rd.
Feels like it,
Independence
yeah.
Eve. And whether it's a Tuesday or a Friday or a Saturday, you have more people that have the day off. It's easier to plan for. This one's a Monday.
Yeah.
It's pretty late for a lot of people.
Right.
So that's my best guess as to why it wasn't as packed as it normally was. I mean, we bought tickets. It was Sunday. Sunday afternoon, we bought tickets easily right next to. My brother-in-law's like, hey, there's seats next to us. Go online, pick them up. So
maybe people make plans for the actual 4th, too. Like, the 3rd isn't as, right? If you're going to make holiday plans, typically you're going someplace to somebody on the 4th. You know, families get together, barbecues, whatever the case may be. So maybe that's why it's easier to go to the game when it's on the 3rd. Because on the 4th, people traveled. Or they, you know, whatever. Not travel out of town, but that's when they go see people or they do things with neighbors, whatever. And the baseball game comes on a night when people are actually making plans for the 4th.
Yeah, growing up in Auburn, Owasco Lakes there, Emerson Park, there's always a show and fireworks, and that's almost always, at least it was, on the 3rd. Same kind of deal. Like, the night before is the night that you go and watch fireworks, and the 4th you go to your barbecue or whatever.
I saw that you could have gone to fireworks like any of the last three nights. You know, because of the different towns and the schedules, we were out Saturday night for our anniversary, and we're coming back. We went out into Wilson, and we're coming back. And Saturday night, there were fireworks in I think it was Town of Niagara. They were down at Niagara Falls State Park. Then there were more fireworks on Sunday night, and then there were the traditional fireworks last night. I think Amherst had them last night, although. I'm pretty sure I slept through most of the fireworks last night. So, that's it, too. You can see fireworks on other nights other than the 4th of July. There were plenty going on all weekend long, and hopefully everybody got a chance to go see whatever fireworks show they wanted to go see in the various towns around Western New York.
And hopefully everyone that blew off their own fireworks went through all of them last night.
Oh, you know what? It wasn't bad
this
year.
Wasn't bad for you?
In our neighborhood, no. I was saying, like, Friday night, I didn't hear much of anything. Saturday, a little bit. It really wasn't. Then there were some last night, but not crazy like it's been in the neighborhood in years past. So I don't know. I don't know if there's any way to quantify this, that neighborhood fireworks displays were down. I have no idea, but it seemed quieter than years past.
Yeah, I don't think that they were down.
All right.
No.
I didn't hear as many in our neighborhood. To me, also, like I said, the days leading up to the 4th. Sometimes it's the week leading up to the 4th. But over the weekend, I didn't really hear that much.
Well, we've got a whole week here where you'll probably hear more.
Still, yeah.
Oh,
The leftover fireworks displays?
Probably.
Yeah, it's fine, whatever. I don't have a dog anymore. I shouldn't say it's fine, whatever, because when I had a dog, that was always a rough night. But hopefully everybody's dogs made it through okay. So your camper lot is going to apparently be affected by the new footprint of the stadium. I don't exactly know how, but I was reading some of the stories over the weekend that the camper and RV lot are going to be affected.
I would assume as much. That's where the stadium will be. When they say across the street.
That's
across the street.
Like lot two is across the street. I never knew where the camp lot actually was.
Oh, yeah, it's right there.
It's next to lot two or part of lot two.
Yep.
So, yeah, you're going to be affected. So I'll have to find you a new home for your camper at the new stadium.
I feel like everybody's going to be affected. I mean, all the lots will be redone, relayed out. You know, there's a million things they've got to figure out.
Suppose they can move it back to the other side of the street once they demolish the old stadium.
Sure.
I mean, that's going to be parking.
Possibly, right? They haven't decided what they're going to do with the old stadium.
That was just going to be a parking lot after they tore it down.
They haven't said they're definitely going to knock it down. There are options. Could it turn into, you know, a museum, a this, a that?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, they have not.
I thought they were just going to flatten it and make it parking.
They very well may. But
I was envisioning like a City Field thing.
Sure.
Where you build the one stadium while you're still using the one right literally next door, and then the old stadium turns into parking.
I think it's possible, but they have not decided, or maybe I shouldn't say they haven't decided. They have not said definitely what they're going to do.
All right. Well, we should hopefully get an artist rendering in a few months.
Yeah.
That'd be the next step.
Yeah, this was just
interesting just seeing, like, it was just basically, here's where it's going.
It was two things. This is where it's going. This is how much of the area we'll need, which is not a lot on ECC South, which, of course, you know, maybe that's still to come. And the other was the orientation of the stadium, like sun side, shade side.
Turned it, according to the story I read, 90 degrees.
Yeah.
Is that a sunshade thing or a wind thing or both?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Probably both.
So they turned it 90 degrees.
Yep.
All right. And it's across the street.
Yep.
Cool. All right. What does it actually look like? And there was an overhang, right, in the design.
I mean, you couldn't see nearly enough
It was not. I thought you could see like a little bit of an overhang, like not a full open stadium.
Well, again, like it's not anything close to a rendering that should be taken that seriously.
But I guess they're still
working on the rendering. But it was fully enclosed. I mean, it looked like what did it look like?
A spaceship.
It looked like an oval gray disc.
Yeah. Right. But again, that's not. It's for footprint, mostly footprint services.
Right? Yeah.
Purposes. They're still working on the artist rendering. That could take months, and there's still hearings that have to be held and environmental impact studies, and you know, I guess this is the first step towards, you know, all the studies and all the stuff that has to be done before, you know, you ever get a shovel in the ground type of thing.
Yeah, I'd imagine the camper lot's going to be moved. I wonder, that's the other thing. People talk a lot about ticket prices and PSLs. How much is parking going to go up? Is parking going to double, triple?
What is parking now at the stadium lots?
It depends on which lot you're parking in, but a camper lot pass is $100 a game. Does that go up more? Drive five all of a sudden become more expensive? I mean, you know, if there are
less people, less cars, bring the price up?
I don't know. Less people, you would think, means more space, but if they use some of the space, I don't know. I would imagine that everything is going to get more expensive. We consistently just bank on tickets being more expensive, PSLs. Yeah. By the way, the PSL pricing structure has not yet been announced. It's another thing that we're waiting for the Bills' new stadium. All that's really happened is the focus groups have gone out there. That was one of the questionnaires in the focus group. You could take a link and fill out all these questions about where you would sit and what you would pay. That was, finger quotes, leaked or released or whatever.
Yeah.
That was available for some people that were taking a survey. And if you ever knew anybody that took that survey, they could send you the link and you could take it too. So I think it was The Athletic that did a breakdown, or maybe the Buffalo News, about, you know, different pricing structures of what the survey asked.
Right.
That doesn't mean it was official. It just means the survey suggests that the cheapest PSL might be $700 and some might be $11,000 or whatever it was, depending on where you're sitting. So, you know, that's another step along the way that we're waiting to see.
Right.
I guess we'll have to wait. Does that come out after the rendering of the stadium so people can, before they're asked to pay $4,000, they can get an image of where they'll be sitting.
Yeah.
Yeah, another step along the way.
Yeah, the breakdown in the timeline of everything. So there's a meeting next week, too, if you're interested. The county's going to hold, I guess, what's called a public scoping meeting. And that's going to be a week from Thursday, July 14th, at the Fieldhouse. And they're going to present a map and an overall plan for what the Bills are proposing for the stadium site. So you're able to, I don't know, lend an opinion, ask a question, and do whatever you want to do. Again, that's going to be a week from Thursday at the Bills Fieldhouse. So you can check that stuff out. Yeah, so whatever, cool. And let me know when we get to shovel in the ground.
Probably a while.
Yeah, right?
Probably a while, yeah. Then it's going to take years to build. And
it did. I think it said, like, in the story that I read, if they indeed do tear down the stadium, it would take like 6 to 8 months to tear down the stadium. So at some point, you would have both facilities there, and which would limit parking considerably in year one. The 2026 season, when the new stadium's open, if they're still in the process of tearing down the old one, you're going to have much less parking available the first season in the new facility. Mm-hmm. Again, no need to actually try and sit here in 2022 and figure out where you're parking in 2026.
Right. We'll
have time to discuss that later, I guess.
Yeah, lots going to change by then.
Yeah, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's exciting. It's good. Nice to see things are moving along with that.
I would welcome a rendering. I would welcome the PSL stuff. But then again, I wonder, do they wait until they're like 6-1? You know, hey, the Bills are 6-1 and they won another game. By the way, here are your PSL prices.
Better get off to it. Maybe wait till the back half of the schedule. Yeah. The first half is a little tougher than the back half of the schedule. And I wonder about that. I wonder about the rendering. They're going to build some. There's going to be some kind of plaza, right? I guess. Abbott Road, just off Southwestern, there's going to be a plaza, I guess, at the front of the stadium. I don't know if that's going to be like a new front door. Apparently, I think the Bill store is supposed to remain. Obviously, the field house will still be there, but there'll be some kind of plaza to welcome you to the stadium. Cool. I'd like to see what that's going to look like, you know, and maybe it'll be like a huge buffalo there. Do we a little too early to put the Josh Allen statue up in the plaza? Should we wait on that one?
I mean, you're asking me. I say no.
All right.
Sal's over in Europe. He just toured the Barcelona stadium. I told you a long time ago when I went to Barcelona and toured that stadium, they have a shrine to Messi. I think you should put shrines to your current players.
You should just mark the footprint now on the artist rendering where the Josh Allen statue
put it
is
up.
Going.
I would.
Yeah.
If I owned a sports team, I would absolutely have statues to my best players that are active.
Well, you can. Oh, why, I was going to say, you could put up statues of the guys that you retired the numbers for.
Active. I would have 6 statues commissioned for current players. Allen, Diggs, Trey White. Can't do Poyer. I'm going to figure out the future there first.
Wait, now if the players go elsewhere, do we take the statue out?
Sure.
Okay, so it's only while they're playing for the Bills.
Well, it depends. Are they going back on the wall? Because then we'll like just put it aside, and then we'll bring it back out when they're remembered forever. Who else gets on the wall here? Punt God, not yet.
No, I think you hit the short list.
Allen,
that's
Diggs,
the list.
Trey White.
You want Deion Dawkins' statue?
Yeah, you know what? Sure.
He'd probably be the next guy in the discussion.
He'd be the biggest statue. So, you know, you want kids go pose next to the Dawkins statue. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm half kidding. In this scenario, I'm a billionaire making lots of statues. But the reality is I would do more to celebrate my current players.
Team. Yeah, with no team. I bet it's very rare. You just gave me an example from Barcelona. I'm trying to think. I bet there's no teams here.
No shrines
that
to their...
due to the none. I can't believe like the Penguins don't have a Crosby statue. I'm not sure that I could tell you I've heard of anything ever done with an active player.
Yeah,
right?
There probably have been. Right,
statue, man. I mean, I just
or
I'm trying
any
to think.
Any version of just a complete shrine to a current player.
Huh.
I mean, could you go? I don't know, the Orioles ever have like a Cal Ripken exhibit at the stadium? Because they should have.
Yeah, but while he was playing.
If you're going to these games to see a specific person, then there should be places that are just dedicated to like, oh yeah, this is why you're here, because of this guy.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of stadiums I've been to over the years, and I can't recall. There's always, you know, you go to Fenway and there's stuff for Ted Williams or whoever else they would, you know, you go to the Pirates Stadium, right? There's a Clemente statue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that I've ever seen a team do anything, not just statues, like you said, maybe a part of the building, whatever, a room, a memorabilia area, something devoted to a guy who is on the active roster. I doubt I've ever seen anything like that. So I'm not anticipating that, but you never know.
No, me either.
Maybe you can almost do like a rotating exhibit of stuff from an active player, and you could change it up season to season or multiple guys in one season. I'm going to guess they won't do that, though. I wonder what they will do if they do anything beyond the Wall of Fame, you know, on the new stadium, if they'll do anything else. You know, we have a statue for Ralph Wilson. I wonder if they'll do anything else in terms of, like, Sabres, you know, they have the French Connection statue in the plaza. I wonder if the Bills do anything like that, honoring those guys other
probably,
than Wall of Fame.
A Bills Hall
of
Fame.
That'd be nice, on-site, if you could actually, you know, take the kids, go to a game, walk around, see artifacts, memorabilia, whatever, right? Do it like a little Bills Hall of Fame on-site. I think that'd be a really cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
And that could stay open year-round, too. I mean, obviously, anybody could go into that, you know, outside of the season, too, not just on game days. So, yeah, I'd be open for that. I'd be cool with that.
Yeah, see, this is why we need this rendering. Give me the rendering, the virtual walkthrough. I'll show you where to put the statues.
Well, they got a larger footprint, right? I mean, it's definitely, for whatever they're planning, there's definitely a larger footprint, not just for the stadium, but for the property and what they're going to be designing out there. They hopefully would have more room if they did want to add something. Maybe that's part of that plaza. What are they putting in the plaza? You know, maybe that's where they put a Bills Hall of Fame. Bills Hall of Fame, Bills Store, all the things that would attract people into the building before you actually go in for the football game.
Yeah, I think we know the whole thing is a big, massive undertaking, but thinking about the people that are actually involved in it, I make this joke to you a lot. If you've ever redone a room in your house, a kitchen or a bathroom, it is obviously like a massive job for a football team to be changing houses.
Yeah.
And that's big. Gonna move everything. I mean, they're not gonna move that much because the field house is still gonna stay there and all their, you know, equipment and the entire facility.
The administrative offices will be there.
That stuff all gets to stay put, which I'm sure is something that they preferred to begin with. So it's a big deal. Like, you know, you saying that the camper lot's going to be displaced. I mean, I probably already thought that. I haven't given much thought past, you know, just being in the stadium, going to the games when the time comes. And even that is a conversation that kind of everybody's going to have with their friends and family when the PSLs do come out.
Yeah.
Every season ticket is going to have a PSL.
Right.
So, you know, that is a one-time payment, but how much is, you know, how much is my one-time payment? I don't know yet. That's what we find out.
It is convenient from a team standpoint, you know, like moving houses and all that stuff. You're not emptying the full house. Like you said, they don't really, I don't know how often, but it doesn't seem that they practice in the stadium that often. The weight, the strength and conditioning and performance center they built with the weight room and all that stuff is over by the administrative building, so you don't have to move that. The field house is intact, the offices are intact, and the workout center is intact, and the practice fields are still there. So they really, the footprint around the field house, all that stuff can stay right where it is. So you, at least you don't have to move the entire operations across the street. You're literally just moving the place where you play your games. And, you know, obviously the locker rooms that come with the stadium, but everything else from the Bills standpoint, which is nice, everything else stays right where it is. So you're literally just saying, hey, you know the place where we play at? That's going across the street. Everything else stays where it is.
Don't forget, I've got a bet with Joe DiBiase on the team to open the new stadium. 2026 home opener.
We're already planning the opener.
Yeah, they're on the board. I've got the Chiefs, the Patriots, Chicago, and the Jets as my picks.
Detroit?
Oh, no, those are his. Yeah, we did a draft. I'm sorry. I've got Miami.
Lions?
We drafted all the teams.
Why'd you draft? Oh, you drafted all the teams.
Yeah,
okay.
Drafted all the teams.
Well, I don't see.
There'll be 9 home games.
Oh, you're going on the future schedule. That's right. I was thinking ahead who they. Okay, they're playing the NFC North that season.
Yeah, we drafted all the teams. And again, by then, Dan Campbell and the defending Super Bowl champion Lions will probably. No?
You mean Kansas City with, you know, with Patrick Mahomes having been traded by the Chiefs by then to another franchise, that's going to be interesting to see who's Kansas City's quarterback will be in 2026.
Yeah.
Bears, AFC, that's funny.
$10 on that.
2026 opener. I got to be honest with you. Have not given that any thought at this point.
I think he got first pick because he took the Chiefs, and then I took Miami. Because Brady will be playing for Miami. Don't forget about that. He also has a bet on that one, too.
God, no.
That's on the board. Brady plays in the new stadium.
That's 5 years, 5 seasons away. There's no way. He'll be 50. No. By the way, if he's 50 and he's playing, throw him in the opener.
Right, because you don't know how long he'll last.
50. Nah. I see New England up there. I wonder what, like, is Mac Jones still the quarterback in 2026 for the Patriots? Is Tua the quarterback in Miami? You have Miami as one of your teams.
First pick.
Is Tua still the quarterback for the Dolphins in 2026? I'd have to guess no at this point.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well? Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. Hey.
Bets that are 4 years out.
Just remember, folks, as you're waking up, it's Tuesday. All right? It's not Monday. It's Tuesday. So, phone lines open. We'll get to some other stuff over the course of the show. You can always join us, too, 803-0550. Happy draft week. Paul's going to join us at 7 o'clock. We're working our way towards the NHL draft, which starts Thursday night in Montreal. On the show this morning at 8, Ben Lindsay's going to join us for Pro Football Focus. He had a piece up recently where he ranked every single roster in the National Football League. He had the Bills number one. We thought, hey, let's get him on the show. So we'll talk about that piece with him. The college football world still trying to deal with the news last week from USC and UCLA, and who knows what's happening next, and what college goes where. We're going to get into all that stuff with Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports. He's going to join us at 9. Phone lines are always open for you to join us as well. 803-0550 on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Zach Moss, the tailback, the snap. Josh keeps it out, play action, fires to the end zone. You called it, Eric. Touchdown, Buffalo. The pass to rookie Tommy Doyle, the big man, touchdown. Touchdown, Bills. They are pouring it on now.
Now, you know that's from
I was going to ask you the
Patriot game.
I figured that would have been my guess, but it's kind of cool when you hear a highlight like that. They're pouring it on. I'm going, I wonder which game
well,
that was.
How many touchdowns does Tommy Doyle have?
Yeah, probably. Well, I'm going to go, that's the only one.
There you go.
But I didn't remember specifically which, but it would pouring it on, you'd probably think of, well, either one of the last two Patriot games.
They've poured it on a lot of teams.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You hear pour it on, you're like, which game could that be? There's a lot of options in that.
Tommy Doyle.
There's multiple Patriot options in pouring it on.
That's right. Two.
Well, even the game in Foxborough years ago, they beat him up pretty good.
Yeah.
Then they put up 30-plus points,
they
like 35
did.
And or 38
Belichick
or something.
Threw the tablet. Yep, that's right.
So I was thinking about the Broncos game. They were pouring it on in Denver. So, yeah, there could have been multiple candidates for pouring
on. They poured on for Miami.
Yeah. I just didn't remember Tommy Doyle's touchdown.
They probably poured it on the Jets here or there.
You think I would remember. I mean, when you only have one touchdown, you think you'd actually remember that. But offensive linemen get TDs around here.
We did this before, that Patriots game. They scored 7 touchdowns. How did the touchdowns go?
Oh, God.
We did this.
You can get it.
I did it with Joe.
You go.
I did it with Joe when you were not here.
Thank God.
It's something along the lines of Knox, Singletary, somebody, Doyle Davis. And who am I missing? Did Moss catch one? Did Diggs get one? There's one in there I'm missing. Knox, Singletary. He had back. They each had 2 touchdowns.
Wow, Knox, and I'm thinking, who's there?
I know.
This is where my mind is on a Tuesday morning after a long weekend.
I'll pull it up because when we did this a couple weeks ago, part of the point was we should know that. That should be completely committed to memory.
Yeah.
The game is obviously such a great moment in franchise history that we should know the order of the touchdowns. So here we go. Scoring summary. It's lengthy here.
It was Emmanuel Sanders.
Sanders, Doyle, Davis. Knox, Singletary, Sanders, Doyle, Davis. Or no, I'm sorry. Knox, Singletary, Sanders. Yeah, okay. I only have half the box score here. Knox, Singletary, Sanders, Davis, Doyle. Mm. That's how it goes. Doyle was the last
touchdown. The last touchdown is to an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
That's kind of nice. That's a little bit of, hey, well, I can't say what it is. It's a little bit of whatever. Take that, you darn Patriots. Let's just make it nice.
27-3 at halftime.
Well, you know, I was pretty feeling pretty secure at halftime of that. The game was over at that point.
Yeah.
Didn't think there was going to be a monumental comeback for the New England Patriots.
27-3 at halftime. 33-3 first possession in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good times.
It's pretty good.
Good times.
And then New England played them even from there, 14 apiece. I mean, they had some momentum.
Yeah, you know, if that game went a little longer, I bet New England would have gotten right back in it.
Yeah.
You know, if you just get tacked on a couple, three more quarters, you know, I'm sure that game would have shifted into the Patriots' control at that point.
The love affair with the Bills, there was a Backstreet Boys concert over the course of this long weekend, and at the Backstreet Boys concert, one of the guys up on the stage in a Josh Allen jersey or whatever, predicting the Bills are going to win the Super Bowl in front of a Bills crowd. So
smart move.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I thought it's – I mean, it is kind of – it was funny over seems like a few of our colleagues are vacationing in Europe right now. Sal, for one, you know, and I think maybe Matt Bove might be over there. There's a couple different. And we're seeing, you know, because I follow all of them, pictures of these guys with Bills fans in Europe, like just running into people wearing Bills paraphernalia while vacationing in Europe, or stories about meeting Bills fans. Well, you've gone through this too. The stories about meeting Bills fans whenever you're traveling in this country, traveling abroad. And if you're wearing something that has, you know, Bills on it, a shirt, a cap, whatever, you inevitably will run into other Bills fans and sharing stories about that. So it's kind of neat, kind of cool to watch. Hey, we're just trying to count down the gap to the beginning of training camp where we can start really getting excited about football season. We're in that lull. It's got to make it through another couple of weeks, and then we get to actually, you know, talk about real football and get ready for the 2022 season,
mm-hmm.
and see what pans out for the legitimate Super Bowl contenders of the Buffalo Bills. What else? What else from the weekend? Anything else? Oh, had a nice moment over the weekend. Ran into one of my all-time favorite players. Well, two guys. I hate to slight the one guy. Ran into Jay McKee over the weekend.
Mm.
One of my all-time favorite players. He and Rhett Warner were hanging out, which I think would make sense. I feel like those guys were close when they were playing. So it was kind of neat to see Jay McKee over the weekend. And, you know, did not bring up, you know, what happened with the Carolina series. But he's doing well. He was coaching. He got his team into the Memorial Cup final. What is it? Hamilton?
I think
he's coaching, right? They lost in the Memorial Cup final, but he had a great season. So I happened to see him and Rhett Warner. It was kind of cool because Jay was one of the guys I always loved. All-time favorite players. The way he played, who he was. He was always a good interview. He was always available to the media. Just a really good guy. So that was kind of cool. Had some fun reminiscing over the weekend.
I'm sure, you know, you said you didn't bring up the thing. He's not exactly known for the thing.
No.
But the thing is well known. The staph infection in Game 7
in Carolina.
I didn't
even want to use the words. I know I should probably.
And, you know, the actual infection itself and, you know, the health issues aside, there are some people that are known for huge mistakes in a game. Mm-hmm. Some people obviously are known for being a hero, playing great, but all-time blunder, to be known for an all-time blunder in a game is probably really tough to get over.
Yeah.
I just wonder how different it is to have been, you were hurt. You were unable to play in the franchise's biggest game in, you know, like, what, 30 years or whatever?
Yeah. And it's not even like an ACL or whatever,
just
broken bone, any of that. It's a staph infection.
Yeah, like, just took you out.
Right. So I didn't want to just figure it out. Hey, how you doing? Hey, congratulations on a great season, blah, 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 blah. And I just kind of didn't want to bring up that thing because, you know, I'm going to guess he would not have, like, glared at me, but that had to be tough. So, I didn't want to delve into that anyway.
Long time ago. Long time. The Sabres, you know, man, it's a long time since they've fielded a competitive team and been good. And here, that's kind of what this week is about, right? The draft is Thursday. We could see some trades.
16 years since the Carolina series, right?
Yeah.
That was the
05-06. 05-06.
Yeah, go ahead.
We could see some trades. We've already started to see a little bit of movement in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan McDonagh traded to Nashville. And this is one thing that, you know, I don't know how it's all going to play out. But if we're talking Sabres here, which last week we talked a good chunk of Sabres, you know, Kevin Adams came on, he spoke with us, he spoke with Paul, they re-signed Craig Anderson. The goaltender stuff, maybe it picks up this week. Now that we're through the long weekend, this is movement time, right?
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention that. I know we put the Friedman thing with Olofsson in the headlines. He, in his 32 thoughts, he did each team and what they're thinking about going into the draft. But in his write-up for the Sabres, even though Craig Anderson is back, but the Sabres continue to examine the goalie market, knowing his workload can't be too heavy. UPL's an option, but they're looking at all external options. You name them, they've thought about it.
Good.
I figured you'd be happy about that.
No, it's very...
No, I think they should. I mean, that's... Buffalo's got a boatload of cap room, appear inclined to save it for the young core's eventual extensions, or if something really interesting comes along.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a turn of a phrase. They don't have to save cap room for those extensions. They just have to have cap room in those seasons.
Right.
Saving it this year doesn't do anything other than save...
No, you don't need it for 2-3 years easily.
Well, for a couple of those guys. If you're saving right now, you're just flat out saving money, which maybe that's something they want to do because they're going to sign some of these players to bigger contracts and signing bonuses, and they want to be economic.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I started to say a minute ago is that I'll struggle with is if they just bring everybody back, just expecting that everybody's just going to be better and they'll just be better because they brought everybody back. I expect them to be better because Owen Power is on this team, and you know Jack Quinn looks like a pretty good potential player too. But, you know, every other team is also trying to get better. Nashville goes out and trades for Ryan McDonough.
Yep.
That's because Tampa's in a cap situation, the kind of a cap crunch. They want to re-sign Andre Palat, a couple other guys. Julian Breezeball, the GM of the Tampa Bay Lightning, said as much. It's funny. Like his quotes are as open as possible. I would not have traded this player if not for the cap crunch. We did it so we can re-sign Andre Palat.
Mm-hmm. I think they already re-signed Nick Paul. It was like three guys they were trying to
re-sign.
7 years
for Nick Paul.
Yeah, like 20, low 20s.
Right, low number, but long-term mm-hmm. to try and save money on the long-term for that contract. So, you know, other teams are going to try to get better too. And the Sabres, you know, I think around here there's a little bit of a... hesitance to be aggressive. Some feel that Tim Murray was too aggressive and you don't want to do that. I'm not one of those people that thinks that that's the reason that Tim Murray had problems building a winner. He had two seasons to try and win. And he still has the high mark for points in a season with Sabres team. And they fired everybody because they were mad about 81 points.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether it's the wrong kind of guys, sure. You want to say he brought in a locker room that didn't meld and he had a coach that didn't work. All right. That's all out there. But he was aggressive in trying to get better, and trading a first rounder and your best prospect for a Ryan O'Reilly is not a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a bad idea then. It's not a bad idea now for them to get a player that would instantly help them. And there's probably a little bit of a line to walk on just how patient to be versus how aggressive to be the goalie one. That to me is the most interesting because that's a spot they could get aggressive, they could spend, and still not have any problem passing the torch to whoever the next goalie is, whether that's Devon Levi or, you know, they could talk up Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and all they want. I mean, he's had opportunities, and he's not getting kicked to the curb, but I don't think he should be handed anything.
No, I don't think, I don't think they're handing him anything. I shouldn't say that. I guess it depends on whether they address a goalie
we'll
this
offseason. Yeah.
If they don't address a goalie and it's Craig Anderson and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, then I guess I would retract my statement about not handing him anything. The goalie thing is interesting. It does go in line with everything Kevin Adams has said. You know, when we had him on the show, the goalie discussion came up when Paul had the one-on-one with Kevin. It came up again during the press conference last week with Kevin Adams. And every time he's asked about the goalie, I'm pretty sure he has said the same thing. They're talking about everybody out there. Trade, free agency, whatever they need to do to address the goalie situation. Look, we know Craig Anderson is not the answer. You know, he's an insurance policy, stopgap, whatever you want to call it. We also know you can't just say, don't worry, guys, UPL will win the job in camp. He'll play. He'll start. He'll play 50 to 60 games. You can't do that.
No.
So, and the other guys are back in college. So I'm not surprised that Friedman wrote that because that's what Adams has been saying all along. And sometimes, you know, we do talk about how, you know, how much you believe or don't believe certain things from a GM or a coach. He's been saying that all along. It makes sense. It makes perfect sense. The question is who and what? And is it a free agent? Is it a trade? Who's the guy and what kind of term is involved? Finding another goalie to compete for the number one job this season. Is it a guy who comes in for a year, 2 years? Are they inheriting, trading for a contract with, I'm trying to think some of the guys in the trade market. There are guys out there in the trade market that have like 4 years left on a contract. I don't think the Sabres will do that. My guess is they would, if they do something, I would assume they would sign a guy as a free agent for probably a couple of years and not much longer than that. But I think he will do something. You have to. You can't. And the answer is also not bring in Dustin Tokarski and
nope.
Then Tokarski, Anderson, and UPL have a competition in training camp. they're going to bring in somebody outside the organization. I would think Adams knows he has to do that.
Two names I saw. We mentioned last week Matt Murray. Mm-hmm. 2 years, big money for him. Maybe 1 or 2 years for big money. Another that could be moved, and you know this might be a do somebody a favor, is Peter Mrazek. Oh. He makes a little under four. He was with Toronto last season and did not play particularly well for Toronto. But, you know, there's a guy that's played in the league before. That's probably like a backup candidate. Maybe Craig Anderson takes that job. But I hope to be enthusiastic about whoever it is that they do bring in.
Yeah.
Last year, Anderson and Dell, not enthusiastic. Was not excited about that. Thought that would be troubling. It'd be a battle. And Anderson played better than many expected, but still below league average. So, you know, whoever it is that they do bring in, listen to me. I'm telling you, I hope that I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
I don't know that I will be. We'll see. I mean, I'm glad to hear, as you just mentioned, that you name a goalie idea, they're in on it.
Yeah, that's good.
Other than Jake Ottinger. Hopefully they're not in on that, because you can't offer sheet that guy. Imagine giving up that kind of money for a RFA goaltender. He's going to get paid. I don't think they're going to trade him.
And again, you know, how long, like, so Varlamov is under contract, right? But only one more year.
Yep.
With the Islanders. So that could be something where Adams looks at it and says, okay, we're going to upgrade our goaltending by getting Semyon Varlamov, but he's not locking into a guy for 4 or 5 years. It's a one-year contract.
Yeah, he's 1 year, $5 million.
You brought up Jonathan Quick last week, right? I think he's got 1 year,
yeah.
1 year left.
I'm not interested in Quick.
But that guy's not, I mean, he's not playing as well as he did, obviously, earlier in his career. So maybe that's a bad example. Varlamov, I think, they would look at it as a guy who's still effective, and they only have to worry about 1 year on his contract. Gorgiev with the Rangers. I got to check his status. Oh, he's a free agent. Okay. Because obviously he's not in the Rangers' plans. Shesterkin's their guy going forward. But Gorgiev's a free agent. I'm trying to think of guys who are under contract that would where the Sabres would have to give up an asset to trade for them. Is Holtby under contract? Right? Holtby's been a guy that's been mentioned. I think he's still got term left in where is he? Dallas?
He has Braden Holtby on his contract. I do not see anything for his contract history as I'm trying to find it right here. No, he's a free agent.
Ah, all right. Well, then that's also an option in terms of free agents, but I'm curious what they would be doing in terms of the trade market. And if Adams is willing to give up some kind of an asset to trade for a goalie who in all likelihood would only be here for 1 or 2 years.
Yeah.
803-0550 to join us. By the way, the draft begins Thursday night with round one.
Three picks. Busy night.
Yeah, that's good. I'm looking forward to it. We will have coverage of the NHL draft here on WGR. Let's see, 7 o'clock Thursday night. Paul is going to be in Montreal covering the draft, and our coverage will be anchored here by Brian Colziel, of course, brings you the Sabres postgame shows during the course of the season. Coverage of the NHL draft and WGR brought to you by Fiegel, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. By Bath Fitter, improve your bath in one day with Bath Fitter. It just fits. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by M&M U Pull It, Western New York's premier destination for used car and truck parts.
I've said all along, I really feel strongly that he's going to be a very good goalie for us. He showed when he came up last year that he was composed. He had a presence in net. He was giving us a chance to win hockey games just by being stabilizing force back there in the NHL games. I like the way he fought through different things in the American Hockey League last year. And even in terms of, you know, a goal might go in he didn't like, he didn't get small and look defeated. He actually got a presence about him. I'm going to stop the next puck. And I think that's a maturation that I wanted to see out of him. But he's had some battled some injuries over the couple years. You'd like to see him have some more games to this point. But we believe in him.
That's Kevin Adams from last week talking about Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. The goaltending situation is one of the big stories to follow for the Sabres this week as we head towards the draft. And there might be other activity around the league in terms of goalies. There's some interesting names on the free agent market. Saw a story today from Pierre LeBrun about Marc-Andre Fleury. He might be staying in Minnesota And then LeBron was speculating that maybe the Leafs would want to get Marc-Andre Fleury, that they tried to get him at the trade deadline last March, and that Toronto, well, Campbell's a free agent, that maybe Toronto would see if they can get Marc-Andre Fleury to come in and play for them next season. So we'll keep an eye on the trade market and the free agent market with goalies. Now, again, this is draft week, and then next week, July 13th, the signing period opens up. So maybe we'll see some trades this week in addition to the draft, but in terms of free agency, the old July 1 is now July 13. So that'll be something that we'll be tracking next week on the show.
I'm a stat of the year candidate, if you want to get in stat of the year. This is worth writing down.
Hang on you a know, second. Hold on, I got to get my...
The end of the year, we go through our stat of the year nominees and give the actual stat of the year. I don't know that we
haven't
haven't
had one in a while.
Do we not have a reigning stat of the year right now? It means July.
Oh my God, those are from last year.
Oh boy. All right, well, put this one on the list.
We don't have it. We didn't do any stat of the year so far.
We must not have, you know.
Sorry, I should probably talk on the microphone instead of standing up away from the
microphone.
I guess
we didn't commit all the way to writing it down on a piece of paper. But here it is. Huh. It's okay, because this is going to beat it. This is the clubhouse leader for stat of the year, unless we can beat it in the next 5 months. It's an NBA stat, kind of.
This is the
Knicks.
Knicks thing. Yes, that's really, it's a great stat.
So the stat of the year nominee and the stat of the day. After re-signing with New York, Mitchell Robinson, who the Knicks re-signed, he's the first player drafted by the Knicks to get a second contract for the team in 28 years.
Now, tiny asterisk, it's a two-round draft. But still.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. You think at some point.
Years?
Even if you didn't. And there might have been years where they didn't have a pick in one of the two rounds.
Doesn't matter. That's a draft pick to sign a second contract in 28 years.
That's a great stat. If you had to try and explain in one sentence what's been wrong, why the Knicks are so bad, you could say, you don't even have to bring up coaches or GMs or the owner or any of the stuff that's happened. Just tell them, hey, look, the guys they draft don't stay. That is, I think that's a really, it's a great stat, first off, because, again, even though it's only two rounds, you'd still look at it and go, that's how many players, by the way? We probably should follow up on that and say, okay, here's the number of players actually that were drafted that didn't get the second contract, just to really fully appreciate how inept the Knicks have been for the last nearly 30 years.
28 years worth.
That's, you think somebody, somewhere, one guy is good enough to get another contract. We're not even talking max contract.
No, just a contract.
Contract. That's very good. It's the New York Knicks. That kind of encapsulizes where the franchise has been for most of the last, well, at least 20 years anyway. 803-0550. Stat of the Year nominee, by the way, brought to you by the law firm of Gelber and O'Connell. We take your personal injury case personally. We will bring in Mr. Paul Hamilton when we get back. We'll start talking some hockey with him, getting you ready for the NHL draft and what else might happen this week with hockey news. We'll delve into that in a moment. 803-0550 to join us on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The secret's oat for nourishing your sensitive skin. Start each day with Aveeno's Daily Moisturizing Body Wash to gently cleanse and help preserve your skin's moisture barrier. Then slather on the Daily Moisturizing Body Lotion for 24 hours of clinically proven hydration. This powerful combo gives you 2 times the moisture in 2 easy steps, thanks to both nourishing oat formulas. Get softer, smoother skin and shop Aveeno now at Target.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.